Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. The Cheltenham Festival is done and dusted, but the Good Jumps racing continues. We've got 10 live ITV races to look through from Kelso, where it's the Racing Post sponsored Go North series, a great card at Newbury, and we're heading to Wales for a bit of action at Bangor as well. Hoping to find some post Cheltenham Festival winners for you. In the top right, if you're watching along, joining me is Harry Wilson. Bottom left, our Lambourne correspondent, Liam Head. And as always, bottom right, Ed Nicholson from Unibet. Let's get straight into a busy day of racing. And we're going to start at Kelso for that really good card, a really good weekend of racing. Great the Racing Post are able to back that. And we're going to start with a listed race here. This is the Betright B-Swing Mayor's Hurdle, a listed contest, as I mentioned, where at the top of the betting, Hollygrove Cha-Cha for Jamie Snowden is 5-2. We'll see what our Lambourne man has to say about that one. World of Fortunes, 11-4. Listen to Your Heart, 100-30. Sunset Marquesa at 6-1. Star Walking, 15-2. Rockaloga Vogue and Tangas and Dina, 10s. 33-1, Pitwood Wood and Starlight is 66-1. Now, Liam, we've got a Jamie Snowden favourite here. He, of course, yard will be pumped after that Albert Bartlett surprise. What can our Lambourne man tell us about the big Lambourne favourite?
Yeah, I think she's a very smart mare. I think she proved that winning the listed race at Warwick last time out. Interestingly, I was with Jamie Snowden doing a stable tour for the Cheltenham Festival a few weeks before the meeting. And Hollygrove Cha-Cha did have entries in a couple of races at the festival. So I think that the fact that the connections have opted to kind of wait that extra week and come here, because this was mentioned as a possible race as well, I think that kind of speaks volumes. She'd be the pick of my horses in the race. She was, as I said, she proved and showed her class winning last time out. And she's been a very consistent performer for the yard. She's won 7 of 11 in her career. And she's obviously proven herself at this level. I think she recorded a career best Racing Post rating that day winning at Warwick. So I think she is the worthy favourite, and I think she can go in again.
Okay, well, let's go to Harry, who notoriously, Harry, you like to take on favourites. Are you going to take on this one?
Yeah, this is a favourite I'm going to be taking on, James. I'm actually not convinced she achieved a great deal beating Jubilee Alpha last time. Like, all season, I felt that Jubilee Alpha has just not been seeing out her races, and I'm not sure she did that there either. I'm going to go with World of Fortunes. She's just a really solid mare at this sort of level. She's had a run recently. I would have preferred to see the cheek pieces on her, if I'm being completely honest. But the good ground, 3 miles, and her prominent racing nature would be well suited to Kelso.
Okay, World of Fortunes is Harry's selection. And Ed, have you siding with either of the boys here?
Yeah, I mean, I like both horses. If you remember, Hollygrove Cha-Cha landed the nap when put up 100-30, went off at 5-4 in that Warwick race. I do like her, but for me, she has to have soft ground. And she's going to get good to soft or faster here at Kelso. And I think that puts her under threat to some of the others. She is one of my favourite horses, but she's just so much better with give underfoot. She's got to give weight away as well due to the penalty structure here in this listed race. And World of Fortunes is only rated £3 lower, but actually gets a £2 lower in the race. And as Harry said, likes kind of faster ground. The only time she's been disappointing is when she came to England, and that was at Doncaster. But if you look at that race, the first, second and third have all run exceptionally good races since. The winner came second in the Potemps. The third came, I think, ran really well at Cheltenham as well. So, yeah, I think World of Fortunes going back up to 3 miles is worth chancing here against what will be a weak favourite. I think she'll go a favourite, this World of Fortunes, as the money comes in for her. And I don't think Hollygrove Cha-Cha will be supported if the going isn't soft.
Okay, yeah, well, as we're recording here on Thursday afternoon, doesn't look like there's too much rain about and the ground is good to soft, as Ed mentions. Let's move on to our second race up at Kelso, the Betright Handicap Hurdle at 1:30. And at the top of the betting, is Brookside La for Team Skelton at 9-2, I should say. Judicial Deference at 5-1. Spiriel at 11-2. Barter Tablet is 13-2. Oi de Poi at 6s. Captain Butler 8 and Rock DJ 8-1. We'll go 9-1. Bar Ed, we'll start with you this time. What do you like in the 130?
Yeah, competitive race. I was looking at the records at Kelso because obviously a lot of the Southern trainers go up there and they do have fair records. But one trainer that seems to have a decent record is Ollie Greenall. According to my records, he's got a very good record, 12 winners for 38 runners, 31%. And if you're backing him at level stakes, you'd be £37 up for a £1 bet on every horse this century. And Judicial Deference looks like an improving horse, 3 from 4 over hurdles. And I thought had everything in his favour, maybe apart from the distance coming down to, the 2 mile 5. It's just slightly, that was slightly worrying for me. One of 119 at Kelso last time, so has won at the course. I thought in a difficult race, an improving young horse who's 3 from 4, it was worth chancing with Judicial Deference. And we are going both money back second, third, and or extra place in this race. So it's a good race to get involved with. But it is a tricky race. But yeah, I'll go for the four timing seeking Judicial Deference.
Yes, and he is 5-2-1 with Unibet. Liam, what's your fancy here?
I think Spurriel's got a good chance in the race for Adam Nicol. Obviously, the limelight of his yard has been sort of taken over by Minella Study, who ran a cracker in the Triumph last week. I think this horse is, you know, he's won his last two and he's coming into the race in really good form. He was well-beaten favourite on his debut for the yard back at the start of the season in October, but I thought he improved a ton when he was second at Musselburgh next time out. He won over two mile two at this track in December, and then obviously backed it up back at Musselburgh as well. So obviously the localish trainer, and I think he's got a nice racing weight of I think around 11 stone 4 as well. So I think there's still a lot more to come from him, and I think conditions will be right up his street.
Yeah, well, Ed is expecting a four-timer. Liam is going for a hat-trick. And, well, thanks for mentioning Minella Study. I'm just about getting over that, Liam, and you've still brought it up. It's a hard one to get over, isn't it, Harry? Because I know you're watching it as well. What's your fancy in the 130?
Yeah, I'm going to go for one who I'm hoping will bounce back to form, and that's Captain Butler. If you remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, he won a maiden hurdle here, really impressively, and that earned him a shot in the Premier Novices at last month's card at Kelso. He didn't perform that day, and he's been off for a while. But this season, he's shown a couple of glimpses over hurdles that I thought he'd prove well handicapped. Last time behind Brentford Hope, he just looked outpaced. Mile 7 round Haydock's never going to suit a horse like him. Coming back to Kelso is going to suit him, and stepping up in Tripwell, I just think 12-1 would be a bit of value in a race like this.
Okay, a bit of an outsider for Harry. Let's move on to the third race. This is the Betright Herring Queen Series. Final Mayor's Novice Handicap Hurdle, one of the highlights of the weekend of the Racing Post Series. £100,000 to the winner. And we've got a Nicky Henderson trained favourite, potentially a short priced one. Will the boys be on or against this Charisma for Henderson at 7-4 for JP McManus as well? Next in the betting, Belle Legrand at 5-1. First Candidate 7s are Peggy 9-1, along with Beauty in the Park. Queen St. Clair is at 9-1. Yield to Call for the Williams team at 10s. Riviera Walk 14s, along with Crystal Days. Ed, we know the Unibet involvement with the Nicky Henson stable. Before we come on to the favourite, I mean, it was a good week for the yard. I mean, Old Park Star looks so good, doesn't he? Such a bright prospect for Team Henson. Every time we think, oh, well, there's no Constitution Hill, it's sort of apt, doesn't it? Constitution Hill paraded at the end of his hurdling career. And about an hour later, we've got the next potential superstar from Seven Barrows.
Yeah, they just seem to come along every couple of years, don't they, from Nicky's. Old Park Star, I think, surprised Nicky during the course of the season, starting off at Kempton. And then winning at really easy, as we know, at Cheltenham. But that was a brave performance by the horse, who will be a 2 mile chaser. I mean, he'll follow the age-old pattern of winning the Supreme and go novice chasing next year, I would have thought. And obviously, Active Innocence ran exceptionally well the next day. So Nicky's got two-star novice hurdlers for the rest of the season and potentially two-star novice chasers for next season. But there were some other great wins as well. Django Blue was a really good winner in the Bet MGM, was it? I think it's called.
Yeah,
and that was, I think, the best ride of the week from James Bowen. I can't remember too many horses in that race making all in a competitive handicap. I spoke to James actually at Chepstow, and he said he just kept on slowing it up and nobody would go past him. So he said he had an easy ride, but I think it was a really good ride. That and Il Était Temps were my two rides of the week. But that doesn't help us here. I suppose we should talk about this race at Kelso. I think Charisma is a good thing. Nicky does like this race. He brought Theatre Glory up to win in 2022 off a similar kind of rating. I think this one's 128 Charisma. And if memory serves me right, Theatre Glory was 129. They thought a lot of this filly or mare for a long time. She is the best in the race. I think she'll take a lot of beating. I wouldn't be surprised if she goes off close to evens here. And that'll be my selection. We are going extra place. Which you look at the field, it's quite an interesting race because it's 6-4 and then probably 6, 8, 10-1 bar the rest. So, yeah, I think Charisma will win this.
Okay. Ed is with the favourite. Liam, we've touched on the Nick Henson big favourite, of course, being our Lambeau man. You're involved more than anyone. Is this a good thing as well in your eyes?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Ed's been saying. I think she's the class horse in the race. It's hard to believe. I mean, I keep seeing her name entered in races left, right and centre, but it's hard to believe that she's only raced five times since coming to Seven Barrows. But she's won two of them and obviously put in a career best performance when winning at Market Raising last time. She was second at Huntingdon in December, actually, to Watermoo, but the third horse bolted up at Doncaster the other day. And yes, she's obviously got top weight in this, 12 stone, and giving a lot of weight to the rivals, but I think she's proven that the form, from what we've seen, that it should be tough to beat. It's quite interesting as well when I was looking at Henderson's record at Kelso. He doesn't send a lot of horses to the track, but across his whole career, he's still got a 42% strike rate, which is quite impressive, really. I mean, I think he sent 36 runners to the track across his career, and 15 of them have won. So I think this horse is just oozes class, and I think she's going to be very, very tough to beat.
Okay, two shouts for the favourite. Harry, are you going to make it three?
I don't think it will surprise you, James, that I'm going to take her on. I just think it's really interesting. John Joe O'Neill and AJ O'Neill also had a very good festival with Johnny Hu and Willful winning. And I thought it was interesting that they qualified Riviera Walk for this at the last minute. She went to Catterick 2 weeks ago and absolutely hacked up from the front on her first go at 2 miles. That was on good ground. Front runners have a really good record around Kelso. She's got no weight on her back, and I could just see her running a massive race. She's massive. She's a massive prize for one who could have so much more potential at this trip.
Yeah, she is a big prize, and as you mentioned, two winners for the yard. So Riviera Walk is Harry's selection, taking on the favourite and a 14-1 outsider with Unibet. Let's move on to the final race we'll be looking at from Kelso. This is the 240, the Betright Novices Handicap Chase. And at the top of the betting is Diamond Dealer with Tristan Dole aboard. We've got Glen Road at 5-1. 2 6-1 favourites, Moon Phases for Lucinda Russell and Michael Scudamore. Bridge Court 6-1, My Noble Lord 7s. Along with Always a Reason, Defence Witness 8s, Sleeping Satellite 10s, Joe Cooker 14s, along with Stick With Me, Sam. Liam, kick us off. The 240 at Kelso.
I think Always a Reason's got a good chance in this one for Rebecca Menzies. He's slowly been making some nice strides for the yard. And before his last run at Newcastle, he'd had 5 appearances this season, and each one he'd progressed sort of on ratings and judging on racing post ratings. And in those 5 runs, he'd won 2 of them, or 3 of them, I think, and finished second. I think his run at Newcastle over the extended 2 miles was a bit sharp for him. So I think going back up in trip will be key. He's obviously won over 2.5 miles on two occasions as well. And I just think he's going to be applied with first-time cheek pieces as well. So I think they're going to sort of play into his advantage and sort of helping him settle a lot quicker. So I think, you know, in a wide-open race, I think he's got good value behind him.
Okay, nice to see one at a bit of price. Ed, your selection here?
Yeah, difficult race. I'm just going to take a bit of a flyer on a stable that's coming into form, and that's Fergal O'Brien. 7 winners from his last 41 runs. I like Sleeping Satellite at a big price. Be around about 10, 12 to 1, I would have thought. There is no horse in the race who's had more experience over fences than this, which means something. In a kind of a 10-runner handicap chase at Kelso. They're bound to go quite quick and quite professional. And talking about Nicky Henderson's record at Kelso, Fergal's got a good record as well. I mean, his record is 15 wins from 41 runs this century, but he's had a further 10 places. So 25 of 41 have made the frame, which is some record for Fergal O'Brien. So with the stable coming back into form, I'll just chance Sleeping Satellite at a big price.
Yeah, got a big shame for the stable. We didn't get to see 6 Mile Bridge at the Cheltenham Festival. Fergal still waiting for that elusive first Cheltenham winner. Be happy with a good day at Kelso, I'm sure. And finally, Harry, 240 at Kelso.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear Liam and Ed go for ones at a bigger price, because I thought this was one of the most solid favourites in the entire day. That Diamond Dealer, he just won with so much in hand at Chepstow. He thumped a subsequent winner by like 10 lengths. So easily, returned from a break over 3 mile. He only just got caught 2 mile 5 round Kelso. He's won round the track as well. I just think he'll get loose in the front end and nothing will catch him.
Thank you very much, Harry. We will be taking a look at the action from Newbury after this short break.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious Edge.
Okay, let's head south and to Newbury. We've got 5 races to look at. We're going to look at the three feature races first and then the 2 opening races on the card. So we'll start at 2:25. This is the Bet Victor, home of the Saturday Superboost Handicap Chase. Lots of familiar faces line up here. And your favourite is one we know all about at Newbury, Heltonham. Quite ironic name considering how his best form is elsewhere. He's 5-2. Prairie Wolf at 4-1. Nappers Hill 9-2. Twin Jets 11-2. Scarface 13-2. Authorised Speed at 12s. Coast Guard Station. Hercules de Soy also run. Liam, our Lambourne Marin, this is your nearest course. You can start us off. Are you with or against Heltonham?
Against him on this occasion, James. I think Prairie Wolf's got a good opportunity. He's been in, you know, really good form this season, obviously with the exception of finishing down the field at Cheltenham. But I think that that can sort of be brushed under the carpet a little bit, because he won really impressively at Newcastle next time out. And I think this sort of 2.5 mile trip seems to be his bag at the moment. He also got good course form. He was third behind Booster Bob at Newbury in November. So I think there's still a lot more to come from him. And I think, you know, he's been sort of freshened up since that Newcastle win. And I think this is a good opportunity.
Yeah, it certainly is. We'll come to you next, Ed. I mean, this is almost a warm-up race for one of the Unibet Veterans Middle Distance Series, because there's no one in the race younger than 9. It's almost like a trial race. Your series is so big, you're having trial races, Ed.
Well, I think plenty of these will be aimed at that series next year, because they're all 9 at the moment. Mm. And it's been a trend of late that they wait until they go into their 10th year, into the next season, and then they pop up and win a and win one of the qualifiers and then run in the £100,000 final. So I wouldn't be surprised if plenty of these do run in those races. Nappers Hill has run in one.
Yes.
And that was at Warwick, but the ground was all against him. He just doesn't like soft ground. If you go on the Excellent Racing Post website, you'll see quotes going back to when this horse was a hurdler. I don't think he likes the very soft ground that he got at Warwick. So he's got a chance because I still think, although he's 10, he's still relatively inexperienced at fencing. He still hasn't really been given a chance to show us how good he is. He was obviously a very good hurdler, relatively speaking, to the others in the race. I can't get Heltenham right. I never get Heltenham right. According to some experts that I know, they've always thought this horse would be better over 3 miles, given its stride length. They showed me all the data, and I think they even told the Skeletons to put him over 3 miles. But he's been successful over 2.5, especially in this race, winning 2 of the last 3 encounters of this race, but from a lower handicap mark. I think it's the course suits him because it's a long galloping track with a nice cadence between each fence. And I think that's what he needs because he's not the greatest of jumpers. He's not athletic, but he just does over this distance gallop. And he would have obvious chances, but he is rated 140 now. And in his lifetime, he's run 6 times in the 140s and never won. He's won this race off lower marks. I think there's enough reason to suggest it's worth taking on at 2, 7 to 4. And I'm going to go for Prairie Wolf as well. I think it was a lifetime best performance last time at Newcastle. They're coming down south. Whenever they come down south, it's worth it a second look in the market. And I just think Prairie Wolf has got a lot going for him. As, again, was said by Liam, he did come down south to finish 3rd over 2.6 miles. This 2.5 is probably the best trip for him, arguably. But I think that Prairie Wolf's a good bet here with the favourite. I think susceptible, given that he's now... You know, he's now up to 140 and he just doesn't seem to perform at those kind of ratings.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said, particularly about Nappers Hill, who I thought was definitely a bit of value here back on his favoured ground. And did win a Rising Stars over fences, so he's certainly shown he can do it. Two shouts, though, for Prairie Wolf. Harry, are you going to make it 3?
I'm not, unfortunately, James. I'm going to be going for one at a big price, and that's Hercule de Soy. It's just one that really caught my eye at Doncaster last time. It's one of those nice introductory rides, I think I'll give it a fair crack at. That he hung him out the back, never gave him a chance, and just hunted him round. If you actually watch the replay on the Racing Post website, you see him absolutely flying home from nowhere. And Rich is struggling to pull him up. That's over 2 mile. His last win came over 2.4 miles. This step up in trip's really going to suit him. He was capable of, he's thumped Solness, he's beat Calico 12 lengths, he's placed behind Ilete Tom. This is a grade one horse we're dealing with. If Neil Mulholland can get him right, then he's so well handicapped off his current mark.
Yeah, and 10 to 1, Harry, that might be a good bit of value. There's already been a bit of support with Unibet, so potentially Harry is on to a winner there. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Newbury. This is a race. Which is a grade two here. This is a British BetVictor British EBF National Hunt Mares Novice Hurdle. It's a listed handicap, a big final. A lot of trainers do target this race, and it looks a very competitive field as well. At the top of the betting, we've got two horses: Get a Whiskey for Team Skelton and Strong Run from that informed Fergal O'Brien yard, who do like this race. Charisma Cat at 5 to 1, Indiana at 8, Fresh as a Daisy 6, Betty's Daisy 9. A few more in there. Queen of a Jukebox at 12s, along with Shotgun Shirley. Harry, we'll start with you. This is a very competitive handicap. Would you want to be towards the top of market or potentially look an outsider?
I think this is one of those races where you could have a pot shot at one at a big price, and I don't think you'd go far wrong. I've sort of looked at this race a lot of times, and I've come up with like 7 or 8 different winners. Probably my most solid option is Charisma Cat. But I was sort of thinking, if I like her, why don't I like Trinity Street, who chased her home and is a much bigger price? And the reason that I'm going to side with Trinity Street, who I think is a ridiculous price, frankly, is that she won a point on good to firm ground. Her 3 runs over hurdles have come on soft or heavy over 2 mile. Her dam is related to a high-class 3-miler. The getting going up in trip 2 mile 4 should suit. Getting on better ground could suit. She's going to get a good ride from Sammy Twiston Davies, and I think she's a massive price. So that's Trinity Street for me, James.
Yeah, she was 25-1, Harry. She's now 20-1. So clearly people believing Trinity Street could cause an upset in the big one at Newbury Lane. What's your verdict?
I think Fresh to Daisy's got a good chance for Nicky Henderson. She's still very lightly raced. Again, she's only had 5 runs, as we mentioned, to Charisma early on in the show. But she's been really consistent in each of those. Thought she made a promising hurdling debut at Utoxeter last May. And the second and third in that race have both won next time out. She backed that up with a smart performance at Bangor. She's had a bit of time off since her last run, but I get the vibes that the yard do think of quite a lot of her. She's had, you know, she's had a decent break now since Warwick, and I don't think that'll be any issue, because when she won at Utoxeter, she was coming back from a layoff of 115 days. So I think she comes into this fresh and well, and I think she can be pretty versatile with the ground as well. So I think she's got a good chance at a nice price.
Yeah, 6-1 for Unibet. Fresh and well, Liam says. Oh. Almost one of your sort of puns there, isn't it, Ed? What's your verdict?
Well, Liam's got the winner, I think. Fresh as a daisy. I have read a lot about trainers pinpointing races. We've heard about Dan Skelton and the big handicaps at Cheltenham. Well, there's one trainer who pinpoints this race, and that's Nicky Henderson. He's had 33 runners in this race this century, and he's won 4 of them. He's had a further 8 horses placed, including last year when his 10-1 shot should have won, I think. Just a bit unlucky, La Pinissiere. He will have had this race as a target for Fresh as a Daisy for a long time. I don't know whether the mare has had a bit of a setback or whether they're just waiting for the better ground or for this race, but hasn't raced since, hasn't raced for some time, 80 odd days, but she will be Fresh as a Daisy in that case. And I think that she's got a very good chance here. Her mother ran in this race in 2011, Whoops-a-Daisy, who was trained by Nicky Henderson, but she could only finish 16th of 18 that day. But she did win 4 of her 7 hurdle races. This will be a trip. This will be the target. All James Bowen has ridden her in all 3 of her hurdle races, on a line with Indania, who she came second to last time. She was given that filly £7. She now gets £5, and they're the same price. I just can't see how Fresh as a Daisy will go off longer than Indania. When I was researching for this podcast 4 hours ago, she was 12-1. She's now 6-1 with us. I honestly think this Fresh as a Daisy has been laid out for this race, and I expect her to go very close indeed.
A strong opinion from Ed, and you mentioned, of course, last year, Fergal O'Brien winning against Nicky Henson. I'm afraid, boys, I'm going to hope and pray that happens again, because I really do like strong run in this. Let's move on to the last race we're going to look at from Newbury. This is the Goths 100 Grand Bumper. A very good race for the future Regent Stroll, of course, among horses to have won in the past, and so informative. If you do one thing this weekend, watch this race back, because there are always good horses coming out of it. The one who's most likely to win, though, according to Unibet, our sponsors, is Diamond Street at 5-2. We've got Lover Desbois and Madam Speaker 13-2. The Mad Poet at 7s, along with Bailey's Comet at Anthony Honeyball. Absolutely loves this race. He targets this race so much, and I always remember doing a Racing Post stable tour, and he had the winning check from this race in his toilet. So he loves this race. He loves to target it. Keltype at 10-1. She Acts Like the Summer 11s. Irish Goodbye 14s, along with Master Rock. And we'll stop there. Liam, we've got some Lambourne hot pots in this race. Are any of them your fancies?
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's always an intriguing race, as we've seen over the years. The one I think's got a very good opportunity is Lover Desbois for Harry Derham. The horse finished 4th behind Base Hunter at Newbury on his debut back in November. And when we know the sort of talent that Base Hunter's got and how high he is in high regard by his trainer. So I think that performance was, he achieved a Racing Post rating of 103, which is quite impressive first time out. But then he backed that up after a bit of a break winning quite comfortably at Kempton in February for under Finian Maguire. So I just think that was quite it was an improving performance, and it just shows the sort of level of ability this horse does possess. I know that Harry Derham thinks quite a lot of him. And I think there's still plenty more to come. I think this race has probably been in the back of the minds of connections since the start of the season. As you mentioned, it's always competitive and it boasts quite a lot of prize money. So I think he could be one that could run a big race.
Okay, so Liam is going for Lovett as well for local trainer Harry Derham. Harry, what's your verdict here?
Yeah, I'm hoping that Anthony Honeyball win it again, James. I've gone with Bailey's Comet. He really caught my eye at Cheltenham last time. I sort of called him the winner two furlongs out. He come there so strongly, just didn't get up that extra furlong up the hill as strongly as the other two did. I think the booking of Harry Cobden tells you everything. One of the best bumper jockeys in the country. Yeah, and I think this has clearly been the plan. He's getting loads of weight as a four-year-old as well. And I think he's the one to beat.
Okay, so it is Bailey's Comet for Harry. Finally, Ed.
Yeah, this race will be worth watching time and time again, as you said, James. And I'm quite interested that Anthony Honeyball has that check in his toilet. He obviously was flush after it won, so that's a good place to have it. I think this is a race where you can have a go at something with as a bigger price. They haven't shown much form. And this would have been the target for, I think, almost nearly every horse in this race. Get a run into them, get a couple of runs if possible, and see where you are. This race is worth £65,000 to the winner. I mean, that's a hell of a winning prize for a bumper that's not at a festival. Diamond Street, you've got to respect the Skeltons. But I wasn't, looking at the form of that win, I wasn't that impressed. I mean, obviously, he won it really well, effortless style by 10 lengths, but could be anything. And there's a horse in the same genre who won easily and could be anything that's kind of three times the price. And you won't be surprised that I'm going for a Chepstow bumper winner and I'm going for Keltite, who runs in the same colours of Haiti Colors and was ever so impressive at Chepstow. It was softer ground that day, and that is one of the reasons why you're getting big odds, double-figure odds. And obviously has to carry a penalty, which won't ease his chances. But I thought at around about 10, 11, 12 to 1, Keltite was worth chancing. We haven't got much form to go on, but if your eye is taken to a winner, if ever your eye is taken to a winner, it would have been Keltite. Over time, he'll probably improve to be a good hurdler, I would have thought, and then ultimately a very good chaser. But yeah, let's take a bit of a chance on Keltite at big odds.
Yeah, and I will just chuck in, Keltype is my fancy here, Ed. This is one I've had in my tracker for quite a while from a Rebecca Curtis visit. I've just pulled up the quote that I remember thinking, God, she really likes this horse. I'd say he's one of the nicest horses we've ever had in a long time. He does everything so easy at home. That was her verdict on Keltype. They actually planned to run in this race last year with Keltype, but it didn't quite happen. So he's gone again this year. Keltype, my fancy, definitely a bit of value as well. Right, we'll look at the first two races at Newbury in one big go. We've got the Castle Windows Newbury Anniversary Novices Hurdle. Some potentially two good horses here, Cocktail Blue and Lisbane Park Gambino. Also an interesting newcomer from the Dan Skelton stable. And then the Bet Victor Novices Handicap Hurdle at 150. A very competitive handicap, as you would expect on a Saturday. Harry, we've got two races there. Anything catch your eye in either of them?
This looks like quite a good opportunity for Cocktail Blue to win. I'd have thought the opener, like its form behind Baron Noir, speaks for itself with that horse coming fourth in the Supreme and finishing second in Dovecot last time. The third in that race was Mustang de Brill. We got absolutely smashed off the boards in the Fred Winter. Obviously only came eighth, but still shows you what they thought of that horse. So I think two miles good ground. Cocktail Blue is the one to beat, I say, in that race. And in the following handicap, it's a form line that has served me well so far. I'm not going to give it up just yet. So I'm going to go for Storming George. He came third at Newbury on his debut behind Captain Hugo, who won the Moor Battle for me at 14-1. Sinatra in second couldn't get the job done for me in the county, but he still came fifth. And Club de Rev was in fourth, who has won twice since, including the Dovecote. If that's got to be the strongest form on offer, and I'd be gutted if he wasn't better than the mark of 125.
Okay, so Cocktail Blue at even money and Storming George at 100-30 Liam. It's very clever how he snuck in. He got a 14-1 winner of a Moore battle there, wasn't it? That's just what Harry Wilson does. What's your two fancies?
Yeah, I mean, if Harry's tipping the same horse as me, then I know I'm doing something right, I think. Cocktail Blue, I think, like the form, you only have to look at the form, like Harry mentioned, finishing behind some of those classy horses. He also finished second to Idaho Sun last year, and that horse has gone on to win a Group One. So I think he's going to take all the beating, for connections. Obviously, a flat track like Newbury should help as well. So I think it's going to be very tough to overturn the favourite in that one. In the 150, I think the Wood Corner's got a decent opportunity. And I think slightly being overlooked, I think he's about 9-1 at the moment. Obviously made a few errors on his hurdling debut at Sandown, but he's sort of progressed nicely since then. He's won at Chepstow in January, and he was well beaten at Huntingdon the last time out, but he finished well clear of the third that day. And I just think there's a lot more to come. Interesting that Sam Tristan Davis has been given the leg up, but I think there's still an improving type. Again, he's got, I think he's running off bottom weight, 10-4. So he's receiving plenty of weight from a lot of the market rivals. And I think, again, you know, Nicky Henson loves coming to his local track. So I think this horse should run outrun his odds, certainly.
Okay, 6-1 now. There's been some interest in the Wood Corner, but in the 150, and Liam and Harry teaming up with a favourite, Cocktail Blue, in the 115. Ed, are you with that favourite in the opener at Newbury, Cocktail Blue?
Yeah, I think Cocktail Blue wins every reason previously given on the podcast, so I won't elaborate too much. Apart from saying the stable, a relatively small stable, has won this race twice in the last 4 years, I think. With nice horses, Lord Baddersley and Godwin. So it's a race they obviously target. It is the best horse in the race on ratings. It should win. The other race, the 150, there's another nice young horse that I really like. Although it looks on form figures like he's gone the wrong way, I actually think he's a nice horse for the future. And that's Fresh Perspective, Jamie Snowden. Won at Fontwell first time out when he did absolutely everything wrong. And they followed that up at Weatherby and then ran well at Sandown to finish third. Everything was a bit too classy for him, a bit too much last time out, but that was in the Sydney Banks. And although finishing fifth tailed off 38 lengths behind the winner, it was a pretty good winner who's run well at Cheltenham, second in the Turners. You've also got the race. If you look at the horses that finished in behind, although Fresh Perspective finished miles behind, Sinatra, we've heard about, finished third in that race, finished fifth in the county. Even the fourth horse home has won at Kempton. And even the horse that came sixth came second in a race next time out. So as you would expect for that grade two, there were some nice horses in the race. And this Fresh Perspective was just a bit too much. He's still very novice-y. This is a drop in grade. It's a handicap. It's 1-2-3, not too far away from the favourite on 1-2-5. I think he has every chance. He was 12-1 that day. He wasn't going to win at Sydney Banks, but he's 5-1 on Saturday, and I think he'll win.
Yeah, of course, the owners, the GD Partnership, know Newbury all too well from winning the Coral Gold Cup only a few years ago, if that's all right, Gino. Let's move on to the one race at Bangor we're going to look at. This is the 320, the Virgin Bet Sports Safer Gambling Handicap Hurdle. We've got a really open field here. Static in the age and ordinary mill towards the top of the betting. Ed, you can kick us off. What's your fancy in the big one in Wales?
Well, first of all, we don't get to say hello to Bangor that often on the podcast. Famously, Julian Wilson back in the day when it was covered by the BBC, as they went round with a circuit to go, said as they go around with a circuit to go past the grandstands, and then he had to correct himself as the producer pointed out, they actually didn't have any grandstands at Bangor back in the 80s. And it was a very colloquial area. Still, as you know, James, still sheep graze on the course when there's no racing. But it is a lovely course up in North Wales. And as I'm from North Wales, I've been there plenty of times. The man to follow here undoubtedly is Donald McCain. He's the king of Bangor. 245 winners from 1,307 runners this century. The next best, if that puts it into some sort of context, is John Joe O'Neill with 105. So he is the stable to follow. And I think Static is the horse to follow in this 320. Charlie Maggs, given him a good write-up before on this programme, I think is an up-and-coming, very good jump jockey. And I think Static's got all the chances of winning here. It will be his first run at Bangor, but he has run well. Don't forget, this horse has back form. That was his first win for Donald McCain, but he used to be trained a long time ago by Ollie Murphy and finished second to East India Dock in the Triumph Hurdle Trial in November at Cheltenham. So he's got back form. That was only 2024. That was the furthest he went last time out. He's been running at 2 miles all his life. Suddenly pops up at 2 miles, 3.5 and wins. I think he'll do again. So Static will be my selection for the one and only race on ITV from Bangor on Dee.
Thank you very much. Static 3-2-1 is Ed's selection. What's yours, Liam?
I'm siding with the Dan Skelton horse in the age in this one. Took a couple of runs to get going this season, but thought he showed a lot of guts to win at Catterick on New Year's Day. The second has gone on to win since again. So I think the form can be marked up. He's only beaten us a small bit at Utoxa last time. And I think he's had a nice break since then. And I think given how well Skelton is at target training, I'd say this race has probably been on the radar for some time. So I think he can go well and run a big race here again.
Okay, in the age is 100-30. Two difference of opinion. Harry, are you going to settle the score?
Yeah, well, I think we were talking about it earlier, James, but I think I actually made my debut on this podcast this day last year. And that day I tipped the 4.6s to win this race at Bangor. And it just so happens he turns up in exactly the same race with exactly the same conditions and similarly out of form as he was that day. What he needs is 2 mile 4 left-handed on pretty good ground. And he just hasn't had that this season. The only time he did too much in front in a race won by Cabral de Matan before he went and won the rail kill and, well, looked the winner in the stays, didn't he, before he didn't get up the hill. So I think, yeah, he's £1 below his last winning mark. If Kevin Brogan can get the fractions right in front, I can see him just skipping away from these. I thought it's a good mark at a track that suits him down to the ground.
Okay, it's written in the stars for Harry. The 4.6s is 6-1 as well. Hey, who knows? Is Harry's selection. We'll be hearing those all important best bets after this quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live stream of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show we've all been waiting for. Our panel give our best bets for the 10 race across the 10 races on ITV. Harry Wilson, kick us off. Your nap this weekend is...
We're going to go to Bangor for the 3.20 and it is the 4.6s. He won this race last year, has his conditions for basically the first time since. It's £1 below his last winning mark and I can see him doing the business from the front.
Okay, let's go to Liam, potentially at your local track, Liam.
Yeah, love a devoir for Harry Derham in the 3.35, the 100 grand bumper for Harry Derham. Finished fourth behind Base Hunter, who's obviously gone on to do some impressive things for the Gordon family. This horse then backed it up by winning impressively at Kemp's next time out, and I think there's an awful lot more to come.
Okay, I'm going to go for a different one. Well, not one we've not really discussed on the show, but our Peggy, I'm going to take on the favourite Charisma in the 2.10 at Kelso. I think our Peggy is potentially well handicapped. She will like this ground. She's going to get loads of weight. I just think she might cause a bit of an upset, a bit of an each way nap. It's not really what we do on the podcast, but hey ho, 10-1 looks a great each way bet for our Peggy in the 2.10 at Kelso. And finally, Ed.
Yeah, 3 o'clock Newbury, the big mare's handicap hurdle, grade 2 race. Nicky Henderson loves this event. He's had 4 winners, more than any other trainer this century. And fresh as a daisy, who will be having not run for 80 days, I'm sure has been targeted at this race. Her mother, 15 years ago, finished a disgraceful 16th. I think she'll go 15 places better and win this race for Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, not often we hear 15 places better on the show, but thank you very much to Ed and all of our panellists. That's if you're watching along in the top right, Harry Wilson, bottom left, Liam Head and Ed Nicholson from Unibet. Before we finish, I should give you a little bit of news. This will be my last time doing the Racing Postcast. I'm going to be leaving the post after 7.5 years to try and go into commentary. So just a very quick few thank yous from me. I want to thank all of the team involved with the Racing Postcast, all the producers, everyone who works behind the scenes for putting the show together. There's a lot you don't see, a lot of mistakes and such which get fixed. So huge thanks to all of those. I want to thank Unibet, in particular Ed and Brett. And Ed, your enthusiasm is pretty infectious. You come with so much knowledge and so much, you bring so much to the show. So huge thank you to Unibet for their continued support of this as well as British racing. I want to thank all my panelists, my experts, Harry, Liam, and all the others. Won't do the Ed O'Brien and name them all for your expertise and the show we have, and wouldn't be the same without you guys as well. And thank you to you as well, all of our viewers, all of our listeners, all of you who get in touch and support the show. Racing plays such an important part in all our lives, and it's so great that we can be a small part of that to your experience of racing as well. So you'll join Sam Hart again next week. No better man to kick you off in the flat season. I hear the Lincoln's a pretty big race, but I don't really get too involved with that. But yes, the flat season kicks off next week. It's that time of year for you flat fans. So do look forward to that. As ever, it's a great weekend's racing. Goodbye. Enjoy the weekend. And as always, gamble responsibly.